Tonight was the first WWE Monday Night Raw that was 2 hours in length in more than a decade.
I prayed for this and it happened.
I've been praying for this for a very long time. I was never a huge fan of the 3 hour Raw format, not week to week. Special episodes, fine. Week to week was never a huge fan of it, though. So when I heard that Raw was going back to 2 hours, even if only for a limited time, I was very excited. So here we go. Tonight, 2 hours of Raw. And what happens? They make us pay for it. It's like the monkey's paw. When the monkey's paw curls. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Actually, you know what tonight's Raw felt like, honestly? When the show was over, I was thinking about it, and it really did with all of the commercials. What they tried to do tonight was take 3 hours of commercials. They forgot to tell the network that the show was only 2 hours long tonight. They took 3 hours of commercials and tried to condense them into a 2-hour television show. It was the equivalent of trying to shove 10 pounds of shit into a 5-pound bag. That was Monday Night Raw tonight. You know, maybe their strategy, this could actually be genius on their part. Maybe their strategy is to make the show so unwatchable at 2 hours that when they go back to, when they go to Netflix and they're back to 3 hours, presumably in January, people are going to be begging for it. Like, oh, please, please go back to 3 hours. That could be their strategy. It's not going to work on me. I, for one, am very happy that Raw is back to 2 hours, even if it is only until the end of the year. But there is clearly going to have to be an adjustment period if this is the way it's going to be from now on, in terms of the formatting of the show and in terms of them just figuring out how to get Raw to a point where they can fit the things they need to fit on the show without feeling that they have to fit everything on the show and rush through everything. The commercials can't be helped. I mean, that's a network thing, but my God, I mean, it just felt like way more than usual. You turned around every 5 seconds and the show was in picture in picture, or the show wasn't on the screen at all. I mean, it was way more noticeable tonight than it is on most weeks. But again, there's clearly going to have to be an adjustment here, because outside of the main event tonight between Gunther and Sami Zayn, for the World Heavyweight Championship and the Donnybrook match between Sheamus and Pete Dunne, I thought this show sucked. This was easily one of the worst Raws that I have seen in months. And Raw has typically, not always, but typically been the number one show of the week. You know, certainly, at least in terms of the WWE shows, SmackDown has just fallen off a cliff. And SmackDown was going through a hot period earlier this year. And even, I think, earlier in the summer, and then I don't know what happened, but SmackDown has not been any great shakes lately either. It's very inconsistent. It's very Jekyll and Hyde. But man, this was easily the worst Raw that I can remember in a very long time. Now, they are taping 2 episodes tonight because there is a UK tour next week. So as we speak, they are taping an episode of Raw that will air next week. Maybe that had a little something to do with the way that they formatted the show tonight. Very possible. But look, the thing is, I have seen plenty of fun, entertaining 2-hour WWE shows in my life. Most of their shows, except for Raw, are 2 hours long. NXT is 2 hours long. SmackDown is 2 hours long. So it's not like this is some new science that they have to figure out. I've seen plenty of great 2-hour shows. It can be done. It can be done. So I don't want to hear, well, you know, the show has to be 3 hours or else the show is going to be boring. No. If you don't like the show and you blame it on the fact that it was 1 hour shorter, then they must be doing something wrong. Because that is not a valid excuse. But yeah, this show tonight, this was not it. And, you know, the other thing also to keep in mind here, it's a combination of different things. Besides the pacing and besides the commercials, there was no Drew McIntyre on the show tonight. And Drew McIntyre, for the better part of the entire year, even going back to the end of last year, has consistently been one of the best parts of Monday Night Raw. Bronson Reed, ever since he took out Seth Rollins and he's been getting this push over the last couple of months, Bronson Reed, to me, has become a must-see attraction on Monday Night Raw because you never know what kind of chaos and shit they're going to involve this guy in. Him and Braun Strowman, none of these people were on the show tonight. Even the Judgment Day, which was kind of refreshing because they've been all over the show for the entire year, they were nowhere to be found outside of very briefly Dominic and Liv showed up to the building and then they turned around and they left. But we didn't have our tag team champions, Finn Balor and JD McDonagh, they weren't there. Damian Priest wasn't there. But there were a lot of big names that were not on the show, and in some of those cases, they are some of the names that honestly have been a part of how entertaining Raw has been now over the past several months. So people like Reed and McIntyre, even CM Punk, I mean, he came out for a brief promo at the beginning, didn't have a lot to say, and then that was it. We didn't see him again for the rest of the show. So that also plays a role. You know, when you're missing some of your big names and not doing much with the other ones, that really doesn't help. Gunther and Sami Zayn, they saved this show. This was only their second meeting, their first since WrestleMania, when they had their match for the Intercontinental Championship. And they had that great match there. Tonight, it was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Sami Zayn was attempting to do the one thing that he has not been able to do since he was called up to the main roster, which is win a world championship. Now, this is a story that they really should take their time with and really let it play out until you get to a major PLE like a WrestleMania, possibly. You know, not everything has to happen at WrestleMania, but I think there's a WrestleMania-worthy story there of Sammy eventually, finally, winning a world championship, you know, slaying the beast, let's say, if Gunther is still the champion at that point. Doesn't mean they can't still tell that story, even though he got beat tonight. It makes it a little bit less likely. There is still a story there, though, I think that can be told, with Sammy finally winning the big one. Tonight, he did not win the big one. And I don't know why some people thought that it was going to go any other way. This was only the second title defense that Gunther has had. And you had some people fantasy booking this man, oh, well, maybe he'll lose, or maybe he should lose, and not everybody has to have the title for a year. Yeah, I agree. Not everybody has to have the title for a year. But you know what? To give this man two title defenses and take it from him would have been fucking stupid. So thank God that didn't happen. Predictable though it may have been, it was the right call, and Gunther is still the World Heavyweight Champion, thankfully. And then we got a little face-off at the end of the show between the World Heavyweight Champion and the WWE champion, because now they're setting up for the trophy belt at Crown Jewel, and we're going to get champion against champion brand warfare all over again. Here we go again for the trophy belt next month. What I was happy about is that there was no Bill Goldberg, thank Christ, at the end of this show here tonight. At Bad Blood, you may have seen that Bill Goldberg was in the front row in Atlanta. He was there with his son. He was there with his wife. So you had Goldberg, you had Sunberg, the son of Goldberg, and you had Wifeberg. Okay, they were in the front row. They were having a sandwich. He had some iceberg, lettuce, whatever. So there they were, and they did a segment where Gunther came out, and he was taunting Goldberg and got him to hop the barricade, and all the security came out. They had to restrain him, and it felt as if they were teasing a future match between the two of them, except that they had already announced this whole Crown Jewel championship thing. So it's like, okay, well, they're not going to do the match there. And normally, if you think Goldberg, you would think Saudi match. So it's like, all right, well, maybe they're not going to do the match. And then I saw earlier this afternoon, Triple H, he posted a tweet with a video of him shaking hands with and embracing Goldberg backstage at Bad Blood. And he had a message in the tweet that said, "Thanks for coming to Bad Blood, Goldberg. We'll talk more very soon." Great. Great. Which makes me think that if Goldberg is going to come back very soon to do something, what would they do with him? The Saudi show is a month away. could be some other opponent on that show. It's possible, but it doesn't look like that is necessarily what they have in mind. Survivor Series, it's possible. Maybe they'll have a match for him there. That when he came back in 2016, it was that Survivor Series. But they do have Saturday night's main event coming up. And there's been a lot of talk about them really building that show like a PLE. They want that show to be a big deal. Okay, that's their big return to NBC. It's going to be a live network special. I could envision a scenario in which Gunther defends the World Heavyweight Championship against Goldberg, possibly on Saturday night's main event. It's not a match that I am aching to see. It's not a match that I think needs to happen. I certainly don't think Goldberg needs to come back and be wrestling for a championship. But if they were going to do that match as an attraction, that would, to me, that would be a place to do it. You want to get a big match, a big title defense for Gunther, somebody for him, a name for him to go in there and beat, but you could promote the name for the show. Goldberg still has a name. You know what? I could see it. I wouldn't do it, but I could see it. But what I'm happy is that he didn't run out there tonight and get involved, and they didn't set anything up, you know, between the two of them with him costing Gunther the championship. That, thankfully, there was none of that. But we could very well end up with Gunther and Goldberg, because I don't think they would go in that hard on that tease and then not do anything with it. So just something to keep an eye out for. But I could see Saturday night's main event being the time for that. We're going to talk about this entire Raw show here. An hour less to talk about. This is your Monday Night Raw review for October 7th, 2024. Also, if you're in the live chat, check the pinned comment at the very top. There is a link to a members-only post. If you are a channel member, we have a lot of new members over the last week. So welcome to everybody. Members only, we're going to be doing an exclusive Q&A video, and you can pose one question in the thread, and I will try to get to as many of them as I can in a video either later this week or next week. So make sure you submit your question in that thread. The link is pinned in the live chat, so just be sure to do that. Let's talk about this show. This show, you know, I should have known. When this show opened with Sexy Red, I should have known. I mean, that should have been an omen right there. I thought I was watching NXT. I put Raw on, I have Sexy Red, and she's in the ring, and she's shaking her ass in my face, and I said, what did I do to deserve this? This is a bad omen for this show. Is it any surprise that we had the worst Raw in months and Sexy Red opened the show and she was dancing and shaking her ass in the ring? She welcomed everybody to Raw. And then they went into recapping the Hell in a Cell match between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre from Saturday night. Punk then walked out slowly. Walked out onto the stage. He had a bandage on his head. Of course, he got cut open in the Hell in a Cell match. Or cut himself open. He had a Band-Aid on his face. He had a wrap around his right elbow. He had a brace on his right hand. I'm not going to make any Fragile Phil jokes. So he said he was too banged up to even walk down to the ring. So he just spoke from the stage. And he said it hurt to smile. But it's good to be alive in St. Louis, Missouri. He said he won, and yet it doesn't feel like it. Punk said the way the match made him feel left him with a lot of questions. He said that he didn't know what the future holds for him. He said that he's more banged up than he's been his entire life. He said as much as he loves the fans, he just doesn't know. Punk thanked his ride or die fans. He said there's never been a second in his career that he didn't think he could do it without the fans. He thanked his peers as well. Said it's been a joy and his life's pleasure to work with most of them. Keyword being most. He also wanted to thank those who don't like him at all. He said that there's a thin line between love and hate, and he has turned that hate into cash. So he thanks them. He looked into the camera and said that he doesn't know why they keep doubting him, but please, keep doubting me. Punk said that he has to go home because he hasn't seen his wife in 5 weeks. You know what they should do? They should shoot video of Punk, because he said here he's got a lot of flowers to buy. and he hasn't seen his wife. Remember, he said in his promo last week he's been living in a hotel for 4 weeks. He doesn't want AJ to see the kind of man that Drew McIntyre has turned him into. They should have a camera like a vlog following Punk with, he's got roses or he's got carnations or whatever kind of fucking flowers he's got in his hand. And he's walking and he's keying into the apartment that, you know, where he lives. And he opens the door. April, where are you? April. And he walks into the back room and there's Drew McIntyre laying in bed with his wife. He's never going to let this feud go. Then the camera just cuts out. Turns out we didn't get a blow off after all at Hell in a Cell. I'm just saying, if McIntyre wanted to get some revenge, that would be a pretty sinister thing for him to do. So he said he's got a lot of flowers to buy. He's going to go home and see his wife. Said he would love to say that he'll see the fans soon, but he just doesn't know. And at that point, we heard Seth Rollins' music. Seth Rollins' music hit, and he made his way out onto the stage. He went face-to-face with Punk. We had a little stare down here. And then Rollins brushed shoulders with Punk as he walked past him on his way to the ring. Punk just disappeared. He headed to the back. In the ring, Rollins said that he had to do the right thing, and he told Punk to get well soon. Because the sooner he gets well, the sooner he'll kick his ass and he can retire him. So he told him, he wished him a speedy recovery. So kind of a backhanded compliment, I guess, of sorts to CM Punk here. But that's your WrestleMania match right there. CM Punk and Drew McIntyre one-on-one, that's your WrestleMania match. Especially now, if Punk really is going to take some time off, and Rollins is obviously going to be dealing with Bronson Reed for a little while, once, because Reed wasn't there tonight, but when he comes back, the two of them are going to have at least one match. So that's, you know, plenty of time to kill doing other things before Punk comes back, and then come Royal Rumble season, heading into WrestleMania, put the two of them back together, and you can build to a big match on that show. And they pick up where they left off a year ago, right? Beginning of this year, that's where we were headed. Cody wins the Royal Rumble. Punk falls short. We end up with Punk and Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. The biggest beneficiary of all this was Drew McIntyre. You know, a spot opened up. He made the most of it. And look what ended up happening, right? He had a year-long feud with CM Punk. They had that great match to pay it off on Saturday at Hell in a Cell. I don't think any of that happens, right? Nothing that happens if Punk doesn't get hurt. So it worked out well for Drew, but with Seth and Punk, they could just pick up where they left off at the beginning of the year. By the way, I have to point this out here. I neglected to mention what Seth Rollins was out here wearing. And he comes to the ring and he is wearing Factory Lab duck boots. There they are. Those are the boots that Rollins was out there wearing. Now, it wasn't like those moon boots that he was wearing a long time ago. Remember, he came out in those fucking giant clown shoes, those big red boots. These weren't quite as gaudy as those, but he came out wearing these things. And I looked online because I just had to know. I just had to know. I was very curious. And these things are sold out. $250 a pop. My only question is, why? Could someone explain this to me? Why? These are $250. I don't understand. Maybe they're super comfortable. I don't know. Why would you wear these? And honestly, this image here doesn't even really do them justice. I mean, they look like oversized clown boots on him. But that's what he was out there. Where's my boy Boots, by the way? If ever there was a night for Boots to be with us in the chat, this is it. Boots. I see, I don't think Boots would be caught dead in these things. I think he's got more style than that. Anyway. Rollins said that things have been crazy. He mentioned Dominic Mysterio hanging from a shark cage, The Rock returning, and he said that hell must have frozen over because Cody Rhodes teamed with Roman Reigns. He was out here doing the John Cena narration. He also mentioned that Cody got punched in the mouth by Kevin Owens, but he said, oh, I'm not supposed to talk about that, so let's get things back on track. He's back to destroy Bronson Reed. He said that Reed was not at Raw tonight, but he knew that Reed was somewhere watching, and he looked into the camera in the ring. He got up close, real close into the camera, and he told Reed that he tried to end his career a few months ago just to make a name for himself. Well, congratulations, because after taking six tsunamis, I know your name now. Rollins said that if Reed wants to be famous, then he'll give him his 15 minutes. And he challenged Reed to face him anytime, anywhere. You name the place, you name the time, and they will go one-on-one. This time, he'll be expecting him. I expect that to be the crown jewel match. This deserves time on a PLE without 15 commercial breaks. So this should be the crown jewel match, I would hope, between these two. And I've said this before. This should be more than one match. This should be at least two. Especially if Punk's going to go away. If they're trying to bridge the gap between now and Rollins and Punk in their program, then there's no reason to rush through this. Two matches, maybe three. Blow it off in a third match with a stip, just like you did with Punk and McIntyre. You don't have to go 9 months with it. I would have Bronson Reed win that first match. Absolutely. At worst, they go to a no contest. Double DQ, no winner. Got to run it back a second time to get a decisive winner. But under no circumstances should Seth Rollins just go in there and just beat Bronson Reed in their first meeting. I just think that would be completely brain dead. I would like to think they know enough not to do that, and they're setting up for Reed to get a big win in that first match. Because he has to go in there and show that he belongs. It's not just, oh, I ambushed this man, and now he's back, and now he goes in there and beats me and proves that I'm less than, and then I'm right back to where I was a year ago, which was not doing much of anything. That doesn't do Bronson Reed any good at all. But in the end, you know, Rollins is going to come out of this the victor. I have no doubt about that. I'm not even saying he shouldn't, if he's going to go into a feud with CM Punk. But Bronson Reed needs to win that first match. So Jey Uso's music cut off Seth's theme, and the Intercontinental Champion made his way down to the ring. Rollins looked at Jey's belt for a moment. He stared at it, and then he left the ring. Didn't even shake the man's hand, didn't smile at him. Just left the ring. A little tease there. A little tension there. I don't think it's necessarily leading to anything with Rollins and Jey Uso, but it was interesting to see that they went and did that.
I am the learning tree. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Roderick, again, the mean mug to Jey was kind of weird. I really don't think it's leading to anything. I think it was just there just as a tease. I don't think it's necessarily a sign of them moving into anything anytime soon. But we did have Jey Uso one-on-one with Xavier Woods for the Intercontinental Championship. They went to a picture-in-picture break 90 seconds into this championship match after Woods gave Jey an attitude adjustment on the floor. Woods blocked Jey's comeback attempt, tried a springboard elbow drop, but Jey caught him with a midair superkick, and then he followed with an Uso splash for the pinfall win. That was it. A surprisingly nothing match. And I was actually looking forward to this match. One of those matches, I can't remember seeing this match before. Woods is in the middle, obviously, of, I would say, a turn, but whatever the story is that he's doing. And I thought they would at least be able to go in there and have a kick-ass match, and then Woods would fall short, and he would be frustrated, and that's basically what happened. But the match was nothing. Barely broke 5 minutes. And most of it took place during, I think it was a picture-in-picture. I think that's where the majority of it took place. And again, I don't want to hear about how, well, that's the two-hour format, that's why. No. I've seen plenty of matches on SmackDown, which is a two-hour show for now. Plenty of matches that they will give time to on SmackDown. They'll give two, three commercial breaks to matches on SmackDown, like big matches. This is an Intercontinental Championship match, and Jey Uso is one of the biggest stars in the entire company, and you can't find 6 minutes for the match that you promoted all week. I mean, they announced this match a week ago. There's no excuse for that. 2 hours, 3 hours, doesn't matter. If you have to take time away from something else to devote to this, then you do it. So that was a huge disappointment for a championship match to just basically get no time. But I guess it doesn't matter because it only existed really just to set up the post-match. Kofi Kingston checked on Woods after the match, and then Kofi went and he shook hands with Jey Uso, which did not make Xavier Woods very happy. Jey then offered his hand to Woods, who had an angry grimace on his face. Not to be confused with the angry grimace in the crowd in Philadelphia the other night when the Mets lost yesterday. And then he walked off without even shaking Jey Uso's hand, and he motioned for Kofi, let's go. And Kofi left the ring, and Kofi's basically saying, dude, what's up, man? What's going on? And Woods was basically saying, like, what are you shaking his hand for? He was very upset about this. His frustration continues to build. Right? This is the slow burn that they are continuing with Xavier Woods here as we get closer and closer to next month, the 10-year anniversary of the New Day. And whatever it is that's going to go down, because I'm sure when we hit that anniversary next month, that's where something is going to happen. I'm still waiting for Big E to show up. I would be beyond stunned if before this story plays itself out, we do not get a Big E appearance on TV. At least to try to mediate, you know, play peacemaker between the two of them. I just, how does that not happen at some point? But Bron Breakker all of a sudden appears out of nowhere. And he spears Jey Uso in the middle of the ring. Kofi jumps in to assist, even though Woods was protesting and said, look, that's not our problem. Kofi got into the ring anyway. He got put down with a spear. And he rolls outside, and Woods bends down. He's checking on Kofi. Breakker exits the ring on the other side. He does his run around the ring where he builds up speed. And then he speared Xavier Woods out on the floor. And then he got back in the ring. He speared Jey Uso one more time. And then he posed over his body with the Intercontinental title. So much for that babyface turn, eh? So much for that. So much for the tease that they might possibly be going in the direction of a Gunther and Bron Breakker match for WrestleMania next year. Doesn't seem that way now. They got me. I was like, all right, I can buy into that. I would have been okay with that. But Braun is going back after his Intercontinental title. And, you know, from my perspective, I don't care how popular Jey Uso is. You can't have Bron Breakker go in there and lose twice to Jey Uso. He already lost once, fair and square, lost his championship. And I don't see the benefit to him at all if you put him in there again and he just loses again. I never expected that Jey Uso's run with the title was going to be long to begin with. So him dropping it back to Breakker just always felt like the obvious way to go. It was just a matter of when. Do they give Jey a month with the belt? Did they give him a couple of months? Yeah, they got some shows coming up. You got Crown Jewel coming up, Survivor Series, Saturday night's main event. Between now and the end of the year, plenty of opportunities on a bigger show other than Raw to change the title back. And a lot of it also ties into what is Jey Uso's involvement going to be with the Bloodline story. We know that at some point Jey Uso is going to be involved with them again. Is there going to be a Bloodline themed War Games match at Survivor Series? That's still an open question. It looks very likely. You know, the one that I was suggesting for a while there that I thought had a better chance maybe of happening was going to be Solo's Bloodline against Roman, Cody, Randy, and KO. After the angle they shot the other night with KO and Cody, that seems very unlikely. So that really only leaves the Bloodline. And if Jey is going to be involved with them, then they're going to have to probably get that belt off of him sooner rather than later. That could be Crown Jewel. Could very well be on that show, but they got me there. I thought they were moving on to something else and they were going to go at least tweener with this guy, but there he was, spearing the shit out of everybody.
Look, everyone, it's Samoa Bro.
Hey, Samoa Bro. Hey, Randy Bobandy, thank you for the 1999. Dropping a Samoa Bro on us here on a Monday night. There was a Rhea Ripley taped promo. She said that she should have seen it coming at Bad Blood. Liv Morgan couldn't beat her on her own. She needed Raquel Rodriguez. Now she's just going to have to go through the both of them. Jackie Redmond tried interviewing Bron Breakker in the back. He blew her off, didn't say a word. They cut back to the arena, and it felt like it was kind of that wide shot of the crowd. And normally when they do that, someone's music starts playing and someone's making their entrance. And so we're just sitting here for like 10 seconds and nothing is happening. So they cut to the announcers at ringside. They start discussing the incident from the other night with Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens. Joe Tessitore, though, he cuts off Wade Barrett like they weren't allowed to discuss it. And instead, they show Triple H's statement on social media where he said that the matter will be handled internally. For those who missed it, I'm sure you've all seen it by now. Kevin Owens attacked Cody Rhodes in the parking lot after Bad Blood right in front of his bus, kicked the shit out of him, drove off in his Lamborghini. $250,000 sports car, just casually driving around. Kevin Owens driving around in his Lambo. And we don't know why. We don't know what triggered it. Specifically on Saturday night, we're going to have to wait until Friday to find out. But they're really portraying it as if this was a shoot and it wasn't supposed to happen. It's a disagreement between two colleagues. We're going to handle this matter internally. Nobody's allowed to talk about it or discuss it. That's the approach they're taking with this angle. Then they cut to a shot of Cody Rhodes in the back. Very randomly, there's the WWE champion. What the hell is he doing on Raw? I don't know. But they cut to him. There was some glitches on the screen. Then they cut back to the arena. Again, nothing's happening. The announcers look like they're like, okay, what the fuck are we supposed to be doing? They were having all kinds of technical difficulties, which is very unusual. Usually this is a well-oiled machine. This was not the case. Whatever was going on here, they were having some problems. So then we had a segment in the back. Karrion Kross was speaking with The Miz, and The Miz made it very clear that his actions, because he booted R-Truth in the face last week, he turned on him. His actions were his own, and he's not in the final testament or anything like that. So we had another glitch on screen, but this one was intended. It was a Wyatt 6 glitch. So that gives you a little sign of what the Wyatt 6 may be doing next. Some people have asked about that recently on the streams. What's next for Bo Dallas and the Wyatt 6 and Uncle Howdy? And the Final Testament could very well be their next target. So R-Truth appeared, and he said that The Miz was confused. Says he's not in the Judgment Day anymore. More comedy. Great. He said he forgave Miz for what he did to him, but Miz then made it clear to him that we're done. Awesome Truth is done. Truth said that he would fix things by talking to Adam Pearce to get them a match, and Miz said the two of them will have a match on Raw next week. Cross was very pleased with this. At this point, we were roughly an hour into the show. The first hour of this show was a complete dud. I mean, it was nearly the top of the hour, and I said, this is what they've given us so far? This shit sucks. Thankfully, it picked up with the next match. Sheamus, one-on-one with Pete Dunne in a good old-fashioned Donnybrook match. They had whiskey barrels in the aisleway all around ringside. I needed some of those whiskey barrels around here just to get through most of this show. They had a wooden bar, like a mobile bar, on the side where the announcers were with some bar stools. Sheamus entered with a shillelagh. Pete Dunne entered with a cricket bat. Dunne jumped off the bar, but Sheamus caught him and then slammed him onto the announce desk ahead of a commercial break. Dunne climbed up on top of two sets of whiskey barrels. This was the highlight of the match here. He climbs up on these two whiskey barrels. He's going to do a dive. And Sheamus cuts him off with a shillelagh shot. So Sheamus then climbs up on top of the barrels to join him and then gets him in position to deliver a white noise off the whiskey barrels down through two tables. And it was a great spot. just the visual of it looked great. Crowd chanted, holy shit, and this is awesome. They popped huge for it. In the ring, Sheamus hit a knee strike and a razor's edge, or a Celtic cross, for a near fall. Sheamus's elbow, I noticed, was all bloody. I'm guessing it happened on the table bump. Dunn snapped the fingers, the joint manipulation spot. He smashed Sheamus across the back very hard with a cricket bat. Dunn then pulled out a wooden drawer. He went outside to the bar, the mobile bar out there. He pulled out an actual wooden drawer. And the reason I know this is because he used it as a weapon on Sheamus. He cracked him in the back with it. And you could see the bruising immediately on Sheamus's back, just like instantly. Now, of course, Sheamus is... it's like a fucking albino. I mean, he's got no pigmentation. So, I mean, if you probably blow on the guy's back, right, he'll be bruised up. But he hit him pretty hard, and you could see it was already starting to bruise. Dunn then took some zip ties, and he zip ties Sheamus's hands behind his back. And he catches him with a knee strike, covers him. Sheamus was still able to lift his shoulder, though, before the three count. So Dunn tried using the cricket bat. Sheamus, though, caught him with a knee strike, and then he backed up into the corner, and Sheamus came charging out of the corner with a brogue kick, and then he fell on top of Pete Dunn, and he pinned him to win the Donnybrook. Pete Dunn just lost to a man with no arms. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than that. But that's more like it. First hour of this show is a fucking bore. This is where things picked up. This was a lot of fun. And it was yet another banger for Sheamus. He loves talking about banger after banger after banger. Well, he had another one here. And he's usually very consistent with this since he came back. You know, he goes out there and you give him some time. And you put him in there. And at the very least, you're going to get, you know, a good match, if not a very good match out of it. He's had a string of them since he's come back. And these Donnybrook matches, I mean, they've done, I think, two or three of them now. I remember the one that he had with Drew McIntyre. They're always fun. You know, I mean, they follow the same basic formula and the same props outside the ring, but they're always fun. But I do fear for Pete Dunne after this. Besides the fact that he lost to a no-armed man, he may well be done. Pete Dunne may be done, because I'm not sure where he goes from here. For Sheamus... you know, we're getting closer and closer to WrestleMania season, and there is one very important story that still has yet to be told. You know, we talked about Cody Rhodes finishing his story for the longest time. Sheamus has a story of his own that has yet to be finished, revolving around a championship, and it's not the WWE Championship, it's the Intercontinental Championship. And that would be a great story to tell with him, I think, going into WrestleMania season, especially before it's too late. You know, he's not getting any younger. Who knows? I mean, I know he re-signed. He signed a new contract this year with WWE, so he'll be there he'll be there for life. I mean, he's not going to... I don't see him... if he signed a four-year deal or a five-year deal, it could very well be the last long-term deal that he signs. So it's not like he's retiring next year, but I do think the sooner they could tell that story, the better. That story's been just... out there for so long, and we're going into a WrestleMania next year, and what else would you have him doing? He doesn't really fit into any other championship picture or any other major story that I can tell, but him and Braun Breaker, if let's say Braun gets the belt back, and doing him and Braun for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, that's a match I'd love to see. And if it just so happens to be for the championship, then even better. Kathy Kelly was in the back with Cody Rhodes, who said that he was only here tonight to find out what it takes to become the first ever Crown Jewel champion. Meaning, since he's facing the World Heavyweight Champion at Crown Jewel, he came to scout. That's why he was there tonight. So then he went to go walk off, and as he was walking, he bumped into Sami Zayn, who could very well be the new World Heavyweight Champion by the time the show is over. And Sammy wanted him to know that he's going to be the one wrestling Cody at Crown Jewel. And he also said that if Cody wants to talk about what happened, and then Cody cut him off, presumably he was referring to Kevin Owens attacking him. And Cody said, look, I wish you luck. They shook hands. Sammy smiled. He walked off. They replayed highlights of the last Monster Standing match from last week with Braun Strowman and Bronson Reed, neither of whom were on the show tonight. Now, the reason that Braun Strowman was not on the show, for those of you who may have missed it, if you recall, very early in that main event last week, there was a spot where Braun Strowman came off the ropes and he shoulder-checked Bronson Reed off the apron, and Reed fell backwards onto a bunch of chairs that were set up outside. If you remember, when Braun came off the ropes, he was not running well, and there was a fear that maybe he hurt his knee, because it looked like it was maybe a knee injury, because he could barely run. But he finished the match, and they ended up having a great match. Fun match. Turns out, it wasn't a knee injury, but he was legitimately injured. He tore his groin. So this happened very early in the match. I don't know exactly how long they went after that. They probably went at least another 10 minutes. And remember, they brawled all over the arena. Not backstage or anything, but they were kind of in the crowd. They took this bump off of some equipment cases. They fought back to ringside. Braun climbed to the top rope. He did a dive out onto a pile of guys outside. Then the ring collapsed. So they had a full match, and he did that with a torn groin, which sounds incredibly painful. It just doesn't sound like a very pleasant injury. So I don't know how long you're out for with a torn groin. Maybe it depends on the severity of the tear. He didn't specify in his Instagram post anything like that. And certainly as a wrestler, like whatever the normal person would be told as far as how long they may be out of work, you can't apply that same thing to pro wrestlers. But I would assume he's going to be out for a little while at least, so... Kudos to both those guys. They killed it in the match last week, and I thought everything they did together over the past month, every angle, the stuff in the parking lot, remember when Reed came off the concrete barrier and squashed him, and it was just a lot of fun. Everything they did was a lot of fun. I'm kind of sad that it's over now, but kudos to both those guys. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. You're out at the club, the drinks are flowing, you see a cute girl at the bar, you start up a conversation. One thing leads to another, you end up back at her place, and yada, 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 you wake up and you realize that you forgot to wrap it up. Congrats! Now you know what it feels like to go online without ExpressVPN. You might be fine, but you don't even know this girl's name. And there's all kinds of nasty consequences that you may have to pay for going without protection. Not the least of which is a little miniature version of yourself that poops and pees and cries all day. Is that what you want? I don't think so. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, in a restaurant, a hotel, an airport, it could be anywhere, your online data is not secure. Any hacker on the same network can easily access and steal your bank login, your credit card details, and other sensitive information. Doesn't take much technical knowledge either. A 12-year-old could do it. Those same hackers can make up to $1,000 per person selling your data on the dark web. ExpressVPN stops hackers from stealing your data by creating a secure tunnel between your device and the internet. Now, what makes ExpressVPN the best VPN is how easy it is to use. Just fire up the app, you click one button to get protected, and that's it. It also works on all of your devices, including phones, laptops, tablets, and smart TVs. There's a reason why ExpressVPN is rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. Whenever I travel, like when I flew to Tampa in January and Chicago last month, I made sure that I had my ExpressVPN app on my phone and my laptop because it gave me that peace of mind knowing that I was protected. It's important that I know my information is safe and secure, and ExpressVPN makes it so that I don't have to spend my time stressing out about it. You just set it and forget about it. I have plenty of other things to worry about without this being one of them. Secure your online data today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster, and you can get an extra 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster. In the back earlier today, they showed a black SUV pulling up to the arena. Raquel Rodriguez was in the driver's seat. She got out to open the door for Dominic Mysterio and Liv Morgan. They emerged. Jackie Redmond tried to get a word with Liv, who said that even though Rhea Ripley beat her by disqualification, which evidently was not the original finish for the match. The finish got changed. I don't know why it got changed or exactly when the decision was made. That decision may not have been made until during the match while it was in progress. You know, thinking back to the finish, I would just assume that the original finish would have had Raquel attacking Rhea and then Liv pinning Rhea. Instead, they did a disqualification and call for the bell, which was pretty fucking lame for a PLE match. But I don't think the finish was changed and that Rhea was supposed to win or anything like that. So it was probably incidental. But Jackie tried to ask Raquel if she was officially a member of the Judgment Day now. Liv, though, cut the question off. And then Dominic said, let's get out of here. Let's go. Even before the show started, because remember, this was earlier in the day. And so with that, they got back in the car and they left. See, I guess that's not just an AEW thing. I've called out AEW for this 2 times in the last several weeks. They did it with Wheeler Yuta, and then they did it again on the show, on the show last week, where people just leave. Like, they come to the building, Don Callis and Kyle Fletcher, right? I mean, they got there, and it was the beginning of the show. Will Ospreay was going out there for his match with Ricochet. And Callis is like, yeah, me and Kyle, we got a flight to catch. We got to get out of here. And I'm like, what? The fucking show just started. Why are people fleeing Dynamite? And the show just started. You people work for the company. Now we have the same thing happening here on Raw, where they get to the building and they're like, eh, you know what? Let's just get out of here. Let's just leave. So Raquel got back in the car and drove them off. And that was the last that we saw them for the rest of the night. The announce team did a segment. They've been doing this over the last several weeks. It's one of these new segments that they do where they cut to the crowd and they show shots of crowd signs, trying to encourage more people to bring signs to the show. And so they're showing different, you know, signs and whatever, nothing special. Then they focus on a couple in the crowd that just got married. So they have a just married sign. And the bride holds up a sign that says that they postponed their honeymoon just to come see Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley was not on the show tonight. Rhea Ripley was in a pre-taped vignette. And I just thought to myself, boy, you know, they're doing a double taping. I sure hope that Rhea appears on that second taping, because if not, boy, is that going to suck. And I'm not going to give away any spoilers, but I did notice before I went live that Rhea Ripley, she is in fact on next week's show. So at least it wasn't a total loss for this couple who delayed their honeymoon so they could come see Rhea Ripley. In the back, we have the Raw general manager, Adam Pearce, meeting with the NXT general manager, Ava. They were having a conversation, and they were putting over the NXT debut on CW, and they have a show in St. Louis. They were in St. Louis tonight, but they have an NXT show in St. Louis tomorrow night. Randy Orton is going to be on that show wrestling Javon Evans. All of a sudden, they're interrupted by the now former NXT champion, Ethan Page. This was Ethan Page's Raw debut. Right, his first appearance on Raw. So he said that CM Punk cost him the NXT championship in his match last week against Trick Williams. And he wants to just talk. He wants to talk about rectifying things. Pierce corrected him and said, well, I didn't appoint Punk as the special referee for that match. Ava did. Ava says that she was so flattered that Paige came all the way to St. Louis just to confront her. She said that she would like to hear him yap, but she's off the clock. So then, Sexy Red enters the room. Oh, God. She's back. Sexy Red shows up on my screen. She hugs Ava. She hugs Adam Pearce. Paige offers her a handshake until she says that Trick Williams kicked your ass. And then he left. This was a waste of time. This was a total waste of time. Anything with Sexy Red on TV is a waste of time. Thankfully, that's the last we saw of her tonight. We got a 10-woman tag team match. with Pure Fusion Garbage Collective, Alba Fire, and Isla Dawn against Natalya, Lyra Valkyria, Zelina Vega, Caden Carter, and Katana Chance, who was still in her face mask. She's got her supposedly broken nose, so she's wearing her face mask. Katana landed a dive from the top rope onto some of the women on the floor. Sonya Deville ran Natty into the ring steps and they went to a break. Late in the match, Vega put Sonya in a sleeper hold and Sonya backed into the corner. While trying to break the hold, Lyra made a blind tag. And Deville flung Vega to the mat, but then Lyra hit a hunched over Sonya Deville with a leg drop from the top rope and pinned her. I can't tell you that anybody really stood out in this match. You had 10 women in the ring. You would think that there would be somebody who would stand out or some major spot or something. They all sort of just blended together. Nobody really stood out. They had 10 women out there. There isn't a single combination of any of the women that were in this match. No combination of any of these 10 that I have any interest in seeing working together. None. And the other thing is, I really hope that this whole, 10-woman tag, I hope this was just a one-time thing, and this doesn't become, a regular every week. We got 1 hour less, and so we got to get everybody on the show, and we'll have these 8-woman tag, 10-man tag. We don't need that shit. Every now and then, fine, but we don't need this to become a regular thing. So I certainly hope that's not the case. It's okay if not everybody appears on every single show every single week. As long as they're on the show the following week and you rotate people in and out, back and forth. Again, we're only talking 2.5 months, three months. We're talking 3 months. And I'm sure they're going to go right back to 3 hours. It's okay if not everybody is on the show every single week. It won't kill you. You don't have to find a spot for everybody when you don't have as much time as you used to have. There was a promo from Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, the women's tag team champions, who have offered a tag team title match to Damage Control. Kairi Sane and Io Sky, and that match will happen on Raw next week. I think they even pointed out that they had originally won the tag team titles, I believe, from Damage Control. So that match will happen next Monday. And then we had the main event. It's almost like we lost an hour of the show tonight. We had the main event for the World Heavyweight Championship. It was Gunther, the Ring General, one-on-one defending his title against Sami Zayn. This saved the show. I enjoyed the Donnybrook match, but that wasn't enough. We needed this. This saved the show for me. Zayn teased a dive early, then went to a commercial break, a minute into this world championship match. Gunther took control. He drilled Sammy with some chops. Sammy came back with a blue thunder bomb that took us into another picture-in-picture break. Gunther set up for a power bomb on the floor. Sammy backdropped him in front of the announce team. Sammy then took Gunther over with an exploder suplex into the barricade, and then he hit a haluva kick to Gunther up against that barricade, but he struggled to get Gunther back in the ring before the 10 count. Sammy's looking at the ring. He's looking at Gunther. He finally gives up, and he slides back into the ring to break the count. Then he goes back outside, brings Gunther back inside. He hit another haluva kick. Zayn then went back to the corner. He was going to charge out for one more kick, but Gunther turned him inside out with a fucking beautiful lariat. It just looked great. Gunther draped his arm over Sammy, but Sammy kicked out. Zayn caught Gunther in an inside cradle, only got a near fall. A little bit of a scare, but he kicked out. Gunther came right back with a shotgun dropkick and then a power bomb for a near fall of his own. And he couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe that Sammy kicked out, and the crowd was really getting into it. Gunther turned Sammy inside out with another clothesline. There he is. There's Sammy. Look how happy he is. People have asked me, what do I think out of all of the Bloodline segments that they had on SmackDown is, the best? That one. That one that you saw right there. That's the best. Jay is not feeling very oozy. I'm almost positive that's the segment that was from. That's the best. So Gunther turns Sammy inside out.
I love you, Solo. Oh. You are my tribal chief.
Thank you, NWO Matt. Saluting his tribal chief, as you should. Thank you for the $15 super chat. So Gunther turned Sammy inside out with another clothesline, and then he powerbombed him and he covered him, and this time Sammy kicked out at one. He kicked out at one. Sat right up. Now the fans were really digging this. Gunther applied a sleeper hold. The referee checked Sammy's arm, which stayed up. Sammy was showing signs of life. He was reaching for the ropes. He was fingertips away from the ropes, but he faded and he fell backwards. And the referee finally called for the bell. Gunther avenges his loss from WrestleMania and he retains the World Heavyweight Championship. This was only the man's second defense since winning the title. And there were some people who were seriously advocating to shake things up. They were seriously advocating for Bill Goldberg to get involved in this match, or they sounded excited that Bill Goldberg perhaps could get involved in the match as revenge for Gunther saying all those things that he said about him in Bad Blood the other night and costing Gunther the World Heavyweight Championship and having Sammy effectively backdoor his way into a world title so that he could go to Crown Jewel and wrestle Cody Rhodes, and then Gunther and Goldberg could have their match in Saudi Arabia. And I saw some of that today. Thankfully, not a lot of it, but I did see some of that. And all I could think is, like, are you nitwits for real? Are you people for real? Like, thank the fucking wrestling gods above that you don't have the book. Why would you even put that into the atmosphere? So they had a minute left in the show. Gunther goes to the stage. Cody Rhodes comes out, and he goes face-to-face with Gunther. In between them, in the background on the LED boards, you could see the Crown Jewel logo. We had our little face-off between the two champions, and then they very abruptly cut the show off at the top of the hour because, overrun be damned, you are not allowed to have an overrun on USA Network anymore. No more. Not for Raw, anyway. But this was an excellent main event. It was not quite the standard of their WrestleMania match, which is understandable. I didn't expect it to be. But it was still an excellent match. It was very enjoyable. Where do you go now with Sami Zayn? Are they just going to keep things rolling with him and Gunther? Seemingly not, right? Gunther's going to be occupied with Cody for the next 4 weeks. So where do you go now with Sami Zayn? Do you build to an eventual rematch with Gunther at WrestleMania? Do you keep him in the hunt? Do you put him on your short list of people to win the Royal Rumble match? Is that one way to go with Sami Zayn? That he wins the Rumble or he wins the Elimination Chamber and he gets one more crack at it at WrestleMania and he finally becomes World Heavyweight Champion? Or maybe not. Maybe you involve him in some form with the Bloodline story. If Jey Uso is going to end up being involved in a War Games match, it's entirely possible that Sami Zayn could end up being involved in that same War Games match. Right? You get Roman and Jimmy and Jey and Sami on one side. That is possible. But for Gunther now, we've got 4 weeks of build to a match with Cody. Brand against brand, champion against champion, with neither of their titles on the line, which is so exciting, right? You're two champions and neither of their titles are on the line. This is one of the reasons why I can't sit here and tell you I'm enamored with them going back to this whole brand versus brand format. It's for bragging rights. Now they've created a new belt that really doesn't mean anything, but they've created a new championship now. And so they'll fight over this new belt that really doesn't mean much to protect them from losing either of the belts that they have, because you can't put them on the line, right? You can't put the world title on the line. You can't put the WWE championship on the line. And so this is what we have now for the next 4 weeks. Building up to this, and then obviously on the women's side, as things currently stand, it's Liv Morgan and Nia Jax, which I have even less interest in seeing. Because that, as of this moment, is the match for the Crown Jewel title on the women's side. That is, of course, assuming that Nia Jax makes it to Crown Jewel as the champion. Don't forget, Charlotte Flair is lurking with her Charlotte in the Bank. She could cash it in at any time. She could cash it in this Friday. She'll probably cash in before Tiffany Stratton does. Anything can happen between now and then, as far as the women's title goes. But yeah, this Raw was totally saved by that main event. I enjoyed the Donnybrook match. I thought the main event was excellent. And everything else on this show was completely 100% skippable. Thankfully, it was only 2 hours, so I don't feel like I wasted 3 hours of my life. I only wasted 2.5 hours of my life. But this was easily the worst Raw. In a string of what has largely been very good Raws, this was easily the worst that I have seen in months. Now, we're not talking 2019 levels, oh my god, this show was offensively bad. It just wasn't very good. And there were a lot of different reasons for it. Obviously, this the onslaught of commercials didn't help, but just the formatting, the pacing of the show, and the fact that there were some significant names missing. You know, that takes away from the show. You put all those things together and you end up with the show that we had tonight. And I certainly hope that they can get their shit together and there won't be a double taping in 2 weeks when they come back live, because next week is a tape show. And hopefully we'll get back to what Raw has been, which has largely been a quality television show and usually the best one all week. Hopefully they'll be able to get back to that. Tonight was not that night. Wow, and I think this right here reflects it. This is the Twitter poll. When was the last time you can remember a Raw poll that looked this awful? 36% thumbs up, 38% thumbs in the middle, 25% thumbs down. This is the worst Raw poll we've had in months. Brother. Hey, Fox Star Killer, thank you. So yeah, this was a night to forget outside of that main event, no doubt. No doubt about it. Put this one in the rear view because this one is not going to be on the replay list. That's for damn sure. The poll is up there with the Joker 2 box office. Yeah, I heard Joker didn't do too well at the box office this weekend. I told you guys, there were people who asked me if I was going to see it, and I said, honestly, I saw the trailer, and the trailer didn't really appeal to me. I didn't really see what the big deal was from the trailer. So, I think that'll be an on-demand watch. That's what I think. Let's take a look at your super chats.
You are my tribal chief.
Thank you, Uffman. I love you, Solo. Thank you very much. The Real CS. When do you think will be the next time we will see Joe Hendry in WWE or NXT? After he wins the TNA title, or save him for a Rumble cameo? I don't think we're going to see him in WWE again until either a Rumble cameo or he signs with NXT. I assume he's not signing anytime in the next couple of months. I don't think his deal is up until next year. I'm not sure exactly when next year. But I do think that when his deal is up and he's free, he's going to WWE. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. And I would be very surprised if we don't get him making a cameo in the Royal Rumble. So that's when I think we'll see him next. I think we'll see him in February of the Rumble. And Raphael says, happy birthday, Solid Monster. Thank you, Raphael. Thank you very much. My birthday weekend continues. Thank you. Prince Vegeta. When do you think the Taylor Swift for Men will have a match on Raw? If he is taking time off to sell Hell in a Cell, then Drew should do the same. Well, Drew wasn't there tonight. Drew's got 16 staples in the top of his head. So yeah, I think Drew's going to be taken off for at least a few weeks too. And him not being there tonight is a shoot. So he's not on Raw next week either, since he wasn't in the building tonight. So yeah, they're both going to be taking a little bit of time off. How much time for Punk? I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be an extended break and he's going to miss Survivor Series. And you know what's interesting, though? I'll tell you what's interesting. The timing is very interesting that if he does take time off right now, he would be missing the Saudi Arabia show. Which, given some of the comments he's made about the Saudi shows in the past, maybe it's not a coincidence that Punk might be taking time off right now. And he may not be on that Crown Jewel card. So maybe he's going to miss Crown Jewel, but then be back in time for Survivor Series. Maybe that's what's going on here. And look, there's been talk about Punk maybe wrestling Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship at Survivor Series. So that could be his next match. When he wrestles on Raw, I'm going to say the first Raw on Netflix, January 6th. Look, I said months ago, if it were me, you want a big match, like a big main event, or even a big co-main event for that first Raw on Netflix, you book John Cena against CM Punk. Dried chicken, cinnamon dried chicken without flavor. It's your girl Sexy Red on Raw. They know better. Apparently they don't, because they put her on my TV show. GMB. While there are better wrestlers in ring, I cannot tell you the last time I have gotten bored of a Sheamus match. Bring me Sheamus against Oba. Dude, I said that a few days ago. I said when Oba Femi, I said this actually in the podcast yesterday. When Oba Femi eventually makes his way up, man, give me Oba and Sheamus, give me Oba and McIntyre, and give me Oba and Gunther. And then even eventually Oba and Braun Breaker. Those are all going to be money matches right there. Can't wait to see those. We have got Jerome Eugenio. What is your favorite WWE title match in the history of Raw? Probably Bret Hart and the 1-2-3 Kid from 1994. I want to say July 11th, 94, I believe. Go check that out. You will not be disappointed. Alex with the 22 that came in before I went live. Brothers Solo, with WWE not wanting a positive reaction out of KO's attack on Cody in front of a live crowd, do you believe this further approach, or this approach to a storyline, will prevent the mass audience to keep up with the story? No, it's fine. Because they're going to replay the shit out of it anyway, probably. But even if they don't, they have a plan for this story. Clearly. So, no. It's not going to negatively impact the story at all. They did it to get people talking. They want people tuned into that show on Friday. And I think it'll be an effective tool. We'll see when the numbers come in. You know, they're coming off a PLE show. And they shot this angle and The Rock is back. All of these things should conspire for a huge SmackDown number on Friday. The numbers, by the way, for SmackDown are not as big as they were on Fox, but that was to be expected because Fox is on network TV. Dev to Dust. Now we are caught up with the on-screen list. Dev to Dust. Hey, Solemn Monster. What is the opposite of Christopher... That's awful. Yeah, that's awful. That's not even funny. Yeah, I'm not going to read that. George Seckman. Just a quick happy birthday. Many more to come. George, thank you. George has been a longtime fan. I appreciate the love. Alex says, this Raw needed Brie mode to save it. No, it didn't. You want Brie mode and Sexy Red on the same show? I think my head would just combust. Well, what is that movie? Is it Hackers? With the guy where his head explodes? That would be me. That would be me. Donnie Yasu, do you have any favorite moments from Livewire? Yeah, I got a bunch of them, actually. when Austin was on there, that was a lot of fun. When Vince was on there and Paul Heyman called up as Bruce from Connecticut, when Jim Ross was on there in his very festive sweater and he was in no mood, and these people were, scanners. Okay, I stand corrected. That's the name of the movie. Scanners, not Hackers. But yeah, the Jim Ross episode where he was taking phone calls, and you know, people get nervous when they call. Believe me, I know. I used to take phone calls here on the streams, and people get very nervous. They clam up and it takes them forever to get a question out, and he was not having any of it. He's like hitting the button. He's like, all right, people, you got to get to it. Ask your question. So like the very next person, same thing. They zoom in on JR's face. The look on his face was priceless. Just like, it was just like this kill me now look that he had on his face. So yeah, there's some fun moments on Livewire. I wish they would add those episodes to the network. I don't think, or Peacock, I guess. I don't think they're on there. P. Toroid. No, little German champ, don't go into the Goldberg match. He's Austrian. Don't be like Randy Orton and be calling Gunther the German champion. He's Austrian. It's a totally different country. Brian H. DeGreenboy, happy belated birthday, Solo. I'm loving this slow descent into madness with Xavier Woods. It's kind of reminding me of Drew's slow burn heel turn. Yeah, a little bit. It's not quite the same thing, but there are similarities to it. Now, with Drew, he was somebody who felt like he was being wronged, and he couldn't understand why people didn't see things the way that he saw things, or they would cheer for certain people he felt didn't deserve to be cheered for. Here, it's more a situation where Woods just feels like the fifth wheel in a lot of situations, and he feels like everybody else is having success, everybody else is a former champion, and I'm not, and so I'm less than in people's eyes, and it's just driving him nuts. Like tonight, he had the chance tonight to win his first major singles title, and he couldn't do it, and it's messing with his head, and it's driving him nuts. Ren the Cynic with the $5 super chat. Hey, Solo is a huge Sammy fan who did not realistically think he would win tonight. Am I set up to be disappointed by hoping he wins a world title someday? No. He'll win.
Look, everyone, it's Samoa Bro.
He'll win. Just gotta wait for the right moment, but I don't think they would be teasing the story, and they've been teasing the story going back to last year, with him openly on television talking about how I will be a world champion one day. They don't do that unless the idea is for him to be a world champion one day. And remember, Sammy is one of Triple H's guys. He goes back to the early days of the Black and Gold. So Triple H is always going to look out for people like him, and Kevin Owens. I was going to say Finn Balor, but judging by his booking, I'm not so sure about that. Brian says, also, I love seeing Caden Carter and Zoe Stark on my TV screen at the same time. Okay. Cinnamon Dried Chicken without flavor. Billy the Puppet from Saw has given you three options. Number one, take 20 tsunamis from Bronson Reed for $10 million. Take three spears from Braun Breaker for $15 million, or eat hot spicy wings with peppers for $2 million. I will take 20 tsunamis from Bronson Reed for $10 million. I can't handle hot spicy with peppers. I can't handle. And I don't want to take any spears from Braun Breaker. So I'll take $5 million less to take 20 tsunamis. You know why? Because Bronson Reed is a pro, and I don't think he's going to hurt me. Also, Drew McIntyre will steal Larry the Dog, shave all of his hair off, and send it to CM Punk and AJ Lee. So now you're talking about abusing this poor animal. What is wrong with you? I think my idea was much better, where Punk, he just goes home and Drew's in bed with AJ. You fucked me out of 3 world championships. I fucked your wife. Come on, Drew is the ultimate troll. He's going to take his sword and he's going to... All right, anyway. Bill Mitchell, happy belated birthday, the birthday twin. Thank you, Bill. Is it your birthday too? Yeah, I misunderstood the message. Well, if it is, happy birthday. And if not, happy birthday anyway, because at some point it will be your birthday. Randy Bobandy, of course, happy birthday, Solo. I'm sorry if I'm sounding selfish, but when you make your wish and blow out your candles, can you make your wish that I never saw whatever the fuck Sexy Red is? Randy, you should have sent that in to me on Saturday night. I've already had my birthday cake and blown out the candle, so you're too late. I guess you're just going to have to live with Sexy Red. You're too late, brother. I wish I could help you. I can't do anything for you. Uffman, what's with the whole we can't discuss it thing? They're trying to make it seem realistic. That's why Triple H posted that tweet and said we're handling it internally. So he doesn't want anybody talking about it because the company doesn't want people discussing the incident with KO and Cody. Innuendo, Solo, I love you. Who should win the Crown Jewel Championship? Gunther. And if the women's match really does end up being Liv Morgan and Nia Jax, then it should be Liv. Because you can't have the King and Queen of the Ring winners also win the Crown Jewel belts. Like, one of them, okay, but not both of them. So I'd rather it be Gunther and Liv. But I don't know. I just don't think Liv and Nia is going to be the match. I just don't see the appeal.
Look, everyone, it's Samoa Bro.
I just don't see the appeal. Cinnamon dried chicken without flavor. If Private Party doesn't win the AEW tag team titles at Wrestle Dream, this dried chicken here wants them to leave AEW and join TNA or NXT. They need gold. I would like to see Private Party win gold. I think it would be a great story as somebody who knows their history. They came up through House of Glory. I mean, they're some of our guys. And they've been in AEW now for 5 years. It's kind of like the Ortiz and the Santana thing, where you just expected that, okay, Proud and Powerful are going to be the tag team champions at some point. And Santana has said that they were supposed to win the titles, and then I think his father passed away, so he had to take some time off. And then they just changed plans, and they never went back. So they were there the entire time and never had a run as the tag team champions. Private Party has never been pushed at a high level in that company, but at some point, it would be cool to see them break out. Do I think Wrestle Dream is when it's going to happen? Unfortunately, no, I don't. And my Wrestle Dream predictions are on the podcast from this weekend. They'll be up on the channel tomorrow. You could check them out there. So, by your logic, if that's the case, and I don't think it's happening next weekend, then yeah. They're going to have to go somewhere else, I guess, if they want to win tag team gold. Most of Raw tonight, he says, is like eating potato chips. Meaning what? It leaves you hungrier and wanting more? I don't eat potato chips anymore. Too greasy. Pretzels leave no grease. Pretzels leave no grease. Cheetos don't have orange on your fingers. Pretzels are a clean snack. That's what I like about them. NWO Matt says, let's change things up. He went with a different super chat this time. Thank you, brother. Fox Star Killer heard Dominic's comment about The Rock. I did not. You'll have to fill me in. I did not. Did he challenge The Rock to a match? Oh, here we go. He has a second super chat where he tells me. Threw shade at Rock's return by calling The Mummy Returns the only good thing Rock ever did. Well, I think that's fucking great. Dom can throw some shots. Dom can throw some shots. He was on with Logan Paul, I think, not that long ago, and he was pretty funny. Jeremy Rose, Punk is going to sell these injuries for weeks to miss Saudi. That's exactly what I just said. I think that's exactly what's going on here. I don't think he wants to go to Saudi Arabia, and I think that he's going to take some time off conveniently so he happens to miss that show. That's what I think is going on here. Power Spying Games. Rest in peace, Sissy Houston, mother of Whitney Houston. Yes, rest in peace. Uffman says Charlotte will cash in the week before Sweet Saudi Money 8. Make sure that check is not late. Yeah. Yeah. And then we get Charlotte Flair against Liv Morgan. You'd think I'm joking about Charlotte in the Bank. I'm telling you, it's not as unrealistic as some of you may think. Innuendo. But the 1999, I love you solo. When do you plan on going to your next live show? I'm considering SummerSlam in New Jersey. I have no plans at the moment, so I don't know. I don't know. They're coming to Brooklyn for a Raw at the Barclays Center in a few weeks. I will not be there. They're coming to the Nassau Coliseum for Saturday night's main event in December. I will not be there. Then we get into next year. And you got WrestleMania in Vegas. I love Vegas. I don't know if I will be in Vegas or not. We'll see. I don't know. I have no plans at the moment. We'll see. I'm playing it by ear. But are there any tickets purchased or anything on the agenda for any particular show right now? Beyond the shows that I'm doing with HOG? No. Nothing at the moment. Jeremy Rose, did Young Solo prefer Sunny or Sable? Young Solo, I'm ashamed to say it now, but Young Solo was most definitely a Sunny fan. He was seeing Sunny Days. He was downloading all of Sunny's photos, all of the JPEGs from the AOL keyword. You have to sit there and wait for it. Remember, it would have to load. It would be like pixelated. Literally, line by line by line would pixelate. That was me. That's why Sonny was the most downloaded personality on all of AOL. And then you look at what happened to her, and it's just, ugh, my God. My God. Talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse. Sunny over Sable. Yes, why are people... Why are you surprised by this? I mean, Sable... I think Sable was pretty. But Sable was... I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, there was more plastic with Sable than I have in this bottle of water over here. Come on. Anis. Dear Solo, do you have a favorite wrestling conspiracy theory which you feel may be true? I mean, does the Vince McMahon Jimmy Snuka thing count? Because that would be one. That would certainly be one. Most conspiracy theories, or the famous ones anyway, are just that, and I don't put much stock in them. There may be a few others that I could think of, but that's the first one that pops in my head. Yuri, my mom's birthday is Saturday, so happy birthday to her. Yes, happy birthday to Mama Yuri. Send her my best. Brock Lesnar looking for Solo's location. My location is turned off. You think Brock Lesnar is going to fly himself to fucking New York City? You think he wants to leave his compound? Give me a break. He wants to come, let him come, man. I'm going to put a new deadbolt on my door. He ain't getting in here. Bill Mitchell. Yes, my birthday is October 6th, along with Dixie Carter, Paloma Starr, who is an indie wrestler, and Bruno. Thought you were the 6th as well. I am indeed. Nick Grasso. If The Rock shows up on SmackDown, do you see him telling Solo Sikoa losses have consequences? He does the throat slash and the bloodline attack Solo. The Rock grabs the Ulafala and gives it to Jacob Fatu. I wish that would happen. I think Jacob Fatu absolutely should be wearing the Ulafala. But everybody is pointing out the video, fan video, from when the Bloodline retreated into the crowd on Saturday when The Rock made his entrance, and Solo saying, it's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. So it's entirely possible that Rock has been the one pulling the string, which is something I mentioned months ago. What if The Rock is actually the puppeteer behind the scenes, and he's the one responsible for this new Bloodline? We later on come to find out. 50-50. It could go either way. If it's me, I love the idea of The Rock basically being like, you're a fucking loser, you know? And then I said it on the podcast. I said, you know, Solo Sikoa, he's like, I love you, right? I love you, Solo. I love you, Solo. You got to set it up in a way where it's like, then he turns around and says, I hate you, Solo. And then Solo's eyes bug out of his head, and then he gets a fucking super kick in the face. You know, they whack the guy right there in the middle of the ring for being a loser. Because he lost at SummerSlam, he lost in the cage, and he lost at Bad Blood. Losses have consequences. That's what he said about Roman. Why not apply the same logic to Solo Sikoa? Why does the same not apply to him? Yuri says, Vader against Samoa Joe would have been fun brutality. Yeah. Although the real fantasy warfare type match that we never got that I always pitch is Vader and Brock Lesnar. Like Vader in his prime. I'm talking like Big Van Vader. And Brock. That would have been something. There he is. There's my boy Boots. Boots, you didn't tell me. What'd you think of the boots that Seth Rollins was wearing? The $250 boots. He says, Gunther can chop Goldberg in Gage too. Oh, believe me, if they do Goldberg and Gunther, he's going to eat some chops. Yuri. Dominic Mysterio is, in his own way, the Joker of the WWE with how he moves and his comments on things. He's just, you know, he's just a shitster. He's very entertaining. The Rabbit Wolverine. LC Killer. Sheamus and Gunther's match was good. But tonight, this show felt like I was watching 2 hours of a fucking commercial. And happy birthday. Rabbit, thank you. Yes, you are not wrong. Who or what is PFR? Oh, yes. So they had another vignette tonight with the shield-looking symbol. And then those letters were kind of burned into it. For those who don't know, and I mean, look, I don't think I'm spoiling anything that hasn't already been talked about. The Viking Raiders are on their way back. And the word on the street is that they're coming back with their old name from NXT. So instead of the Viking Raiders, they're going to be the War Raiders. And that's who those vignettes are for. And very likely that they may be back on the show next week. The War Raiders are a much better name, by the way, than the Viking Raiders. I still wish they would call them War Machine, but perhaps there's some trademark issue why they can't. That was their name in Ring of Honor. George, if Tiffany Stratton cashes in before Crown Jewel, do you see her winning at Crown Jewel? I do, yes. I do. And I think part of it also is that we may, I think we'll end up with a crown jewel title for Raw and a crown jewel title for SmackDown, as far as like the winners. I don't think that, you know, two people from SmackDown or two people from Raw are going to win those belts. And I think Gunther gets it on the Raw side. So then Tiffany being a SmackDown talent, much better chance that if she were the champion coming into it, that she would win. SNK fan, sweet Saudi money 8. I don't want the Saudis to hate. You know, you say 8, there's been more than 8 of them, right? I mean, what are we up to? We're probably up to like 11 or 12 by now, aren't we? Super Pony, who's more likely to leave WWE, Kevin Owens or AJ Styles? Kevin Owens. I don't think either one of them are going to leave, but I think AJ really is very close to the end of his career. He's talked openly about wanting to hang it up in the not-too-distant future. Now there's talk about this injury from SmackDown last week may be legitimate. They may have been trying to work an injury, like that was part of the plan, but then he ended up getting hurt for real. So I don't know what to believe, but if he's really hurt and if it's a significant injury, it's ridiculous because he just came back. You know, he wasn't hurt, but he was off television for 3 months. They just brought him back. His first match back, he hurts his ankle. You know, he broke his ankle a couple of years ago, and he missed WrestleMania because of it. You know, so I don't know what's going on with AJ, but I don't see him leaving and going anywhere else. Cinnamon dried chicken without flavor. Yeah, and, you know, everybody's saying it's Meltzer. Sapp is reporting the same thing now. Like, Fightful has been told the same thing, that it is a legitimate injury when they inquired, and they were told that it is a legitimate injury. They don't have any more details on it, but that is what they were told too. So I know Meltzer was the first one to report it, and people go, haha, it's Meltzer, but it's more than Meltzer that's reporting that now. Cinnamon says, can we have a sound-off metal skeleton logo with red eyes to honor the 30-year anniversary of The Terminator in 1984. Hey, my boy Steve. I think Steve Mello is with us tonight. Hey, Steve, maybe Steve can work his magic on that. A sound-off metal skeleton logo. I don't even think it needs to be... like, even that logo there, I could probably just put red eyes in it. I don't know, maybe. Maybe we'll try to whip up something. Jeremy Rose was doing the same. Sonny was legit in the 90s. Sonny, I'm telling you, man, Sonny was something else. Sonny was a beautiful woman. Chris Mikesell, just showing some love. Happy Monday, everyone. Steve says, like, challenge accepted. I'm just saying, like, I don't even know if I'll like the way that looks, but just like a mock-up of something, and then I can decide if I actually like it or not. I quite like my logo as is, but you can always try new things. Jeremy says Solo is the little brother that got no love. So he got with the I thought you were talking about me. So he got with the Tongan family to give him the love that he needs. Well, look, Solo Sikoa was the youngest of the Usos. I think there's like a 10-year age difference between them or something. 8 years, 10 years, something like that. So maybe it's true. Joseph Brooks, would you agree that these are the best years in certain WWE eras? Hogan era, 87. Yeah, I would say 87 was probably the peak. Golden era, 92. Well, I mean, the golden era is kind of the Hogan era. I mean, the golden era, I look at the golden era as... I mean, some people may say 85. I guess you could say 85. I look at the golden era as... 85 to 90, like 92-ish. Probably 92, 93. Might be stretching it a little bit. But yeah, I mean, as far as the Hogan era, 87 was the peak. Golden era, 92. I was a big fan of 92. I know business was not great that year, but... Yeah. New Generation 94. I would agree. Attitude Era 2000. I would agree. For Attitude Era, I mean, it's either 98 or 2000. Creatively, 2000 was the best year. Ruthless Aggression 05. I disagree. Ruthless Aggression, I gotta go 02, 02, 03. And PG Era 2013. So, oh man. When did the PG Era end? I mean, we are still technically in the PG Era, are we not? Where they had that stupid reality era. Like, that's where things start to get fuzzy. Like, what do you consider to be the cutoff of the PG era? You know, 2013 is probably sounds about right. I just remember SmackDown. Was it 2017 or 2016? I want to say 2017. There was a year there where SmackDown was just fucking killing it. I almost want to throw that in there. Because that was technically the PG era still. And Retro KOH, hey, you know, Retro gifted a whole bunch of memberships earlier. I don't know, was it 10 or 20? I don't know. Things were moving so fast, I didn't see. But thank you for the gifted memberships. If you are a new channel member, again, in the community tab, there is a post. Well, you don't even have to go. I mean, it's pinned in the link in the live chat. But if you're watching this on the replay, under the community tab, if you are a member only, you will see a post for a upcoming Q&A video that I'll be whipping up and try to answer as many of your questions as possible. There may be too many to get to them all in one video, but one question per person you can post right now. The next couple of days, I'll be collecting questions. And if you are a new channel member, you can get in on that. So just be aware. The Retro says, happy belated birthday, our green tribal chief. Green. Okay, I guess I'm green. Green with envy. TLA says, I didn't even get a gifted sub. You know you can buy a sub. I'm just saying. Gifting is completely random, so it's not even like the person gifting it or I have the ability to just, I want this person. Like, it doesn't work that way. So it's pretty much a crapshoot. And Innuendo has a message coming in. Any advice on getting into wrestling? Well, first of all, the most important thing, if you're talking about, you know, like actually wrestling, is finding a reputable school. So that's the most important thing. You can research online. You'll find some are more well reviewed than others. I can speak just to, like, here in New York. I don't know where you live, but there is a training school for House of Glory out of Queens. You can find more information on the website, hogwrestling.net. You'll see it says school on top, and they'll have more information there. But, you know, you get to learn from the Amazing Red, and that's a pretty good fucking person to learn from. So in New York, obviously, I would suggest that. But in other parts of the country, or even out of the country, I mean, there's some really reputable wrestling schools. Make sure you find one that's reputable and learn from the pros. I mean, that's the easiest advice I can give. Be prepared to, you know, spend some money. But that would be the best advice that I could give you if you're serious about it. You know, don't just go with the first person that you see or the first person that you know. So good luck. And just be prepared to be in pain when you have to run the ropes. Because it doesn't feel too good. Is the Amazing Red related to Sexy Red? No. 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 Absolutely not. That I can tell you with 100% certainty. The Amazing Red and Sexy Red, or All Red Everything, no relation whatsoever. Although Red and Zelina Vega are related. Sun Goshuaku. Rank least to best for the Drew Punk trilogy. Best is easily the Hell in a Cell. Second best would be the strap match. And at the bottom would be their first match. Their first match was good, but it lacked something. There was a sense of just urgency and anger that wasn't there that should have been. And it was in the Cell on Saturday, but it wasn't there in that first match. So just take the matches and just put them in reverse order, and that's the order of quality I would put them in. All right, we are currently sitting at 438 likes. Keep hitting that like button. The more you do, the more the link will end up in people's recommendeds on YouTube, and we can bring some more people, maybe someone like Patricia. Remember Patricia? Maybe she'll come on back. Just hit that like button. Poor Patricia. We never did hear from her again. Tis a shame. Yeah, fucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
Yeah, funny enough, that's what Dirty Dom is going to do with the Liv Morgan tonight. All right, be the Booker. Everybody's favorite segment now. This is how you end a stream. Had some updates recently. Who's Patricia? Everyone, who's Patricia? Somebody in the chat, fill these people in, please. On who Patricia is, or was. As I select our first team here. One of the new additions. Grayson Waller and Austin Theory, the now former SmackDown Tag Team Champions, who will, I believe, be making an appearance on NXT tomorrow night. So they kick us off here and be the Booker. Theory and Waller. And they are going to be taking on the Guns. Austin and Colton Gunn. All right, the battle of two young teams, one from WWE and one from AEW. I like that. Nothing wrong with that. I like the Guns. Women's be the Booker. Off to a good start. We're off to a good start here. Oh, we're off to a great start here. Look at this. Mandy Rose. Or as Alba Fire used to call her, Mandy Rose. Yes, Mandy. Do you know what today is? It's Mandy. This is your Monday Night Raw review. It's Mandy Rose. All right. I'm entertaining myself now. Mandy Rose. Going to go one-on-one with... Oh, boy. Everybody in the chat is going to lose their fucking mind now. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead. Go ahead. Enjoy yourselves. Mandy Rose and Nikita Nikita Lyons. Mandy Rose and Nikita Lyons. With a very interesting pin on her opponent. I can't quite make out who the opponent is. I don't know that it matters. But there you go. That's going to end up being this woman's whole claim to fame in her career. Sorry, we got to move on. We got to move on. Move on to the main event. How does that get a bell? Because I'm trying to sell tickets, Manny. I'm trying to put asses in seats. And if I have to put an ass in someone's face to do it as a promoter, then that's what I'm going to do. Main event time. Oh, come on. We can't pick this guy twice. Austin Theory. We already had him in the opening match, and now he's back. Well, as the commissioner of House of Glory, I bet, see, you didn't know this, but I have crossover powers, which means I have the ability to make a decision and make matches here and be the booker as I do in Hog. And so I'm making an executive decision, and we are going to wipe the slate clean. We can only do this once every 3 months. I'm invoking it now. We're going to pretend that didn't happen. So we wipe away Austin Theory and we land instead on the monster Abyss from TNA. See, that's more like it. That's an improvement. And now we have the monster Abyss in the main event here on Be the Booker, taking on who? Big Bronson Reed. There you go. That's a clean sweep. Solo making the rules like 2019 WWE with the wild card rule. I said once every 3 months I'm allowed to. So that's it. I can't do it again for another 3 months. That's our first clean sweep, I feel like, and Be the Booker in a while, I think. Right? I feel like it's been a while. We've got, who we got here? Prince Vegeta says, buy or sell on the better Punk feud post-2021 comeback against MJF or against Drew, even though the MJF feud did not really have a conclusion. I mean, the Drew feud has gone on much longer. So the circumstances are very different because Punk was out of action, hurt, unable to do anything physical for the majority of it. Because of that, it just took a lot longer for us to get to the payoff. And then we had that excellent payoff. With MJF, they had great promos. They had a really good match on TV. And they had an excellent dog collar match. And then that was it. So if you really think about it, we're talking about 2 months, 3 months. So I'm inclined to say Drew. But the MJF stuff, even though it was in a more condensed time frame, was great. Like, the promos between those two were excellent. And the dog collar match was excellent. Poof. That's tough. I want to say Drew, but I keep coming back to MJF on this. You know what? I think I may go Punk and MJF. I think I'll go Punk and MJF. Cinnamon Dried Chicken, delete one. The Lost Boys or the Crow? Bye-bye, Crow. Get him out. Cameron Spencer. Boring shows like tonight prove my point that the 24/7 title should still exist. There isn't nearly enough the comedy on these shows, especially tonight. Good. Good. I don't want the show to be inundated with comedy. Especially when a lot of the comedy that they do isn't even funny. It'd be one thing if it was funny. We don't need the show to be overloaded with comedy. A little bit of comedy is fine. The 24/7 belt was shit. You can find other ways to be funny. Put me on the show. I'll be funny. Nick Grasso. The reason they changed the War Machine name is because there was a UFC fighter called War Machine that brutalized his girlfriend. He's in jail for 30 years. Well, yeah, that's right. I do remember him. But timeline-wise, didn't they change the name before that happened? I mean, maybe not. Maybe not. But I thought they changed the name before that. But yeah, that guy, that War Machine guy, yeah, fuck that guy. That guy was a fucking maniac. They should put him under the jail. Some other notes here. Tomorrow night, which I guess technically now it's after midnight, it's Tuesday. But Tuesday night, I'm going to be live again here on the channel in less than 24 hours. I'm going to cover both NXT and Dynamite. Dynamite is airing on a Tuesday this week. It is bumped, I believe, because of MLB coverage. And it is starting at 9 o'clock. So there's only an overlap of that first hour of Dynamite with the second hour of NXT. It's not the whole show. So I think I can manage that. So we're going to watch NXT, and then we're going to watch both for an hour, and then we're going to finish out with Dynamite, and then after 11 o'clock tomorrow night, back here on the channel live for a double recap for NXT and Dynamite. That is the plan, so you can join me here. Our usual Tuesday night Titans show with me and JD on his channel. It's going to be Wednesday night Titans this week. So we're going to bump the show back by a day. And then, of course, Friday night should be a big SmackDown. A lot of fallout from Bad Blood. The Rock is back. Kevin Owens turned heel. What's going to happen? So I'll be live then as well. And then this weekend is WrestleDream on Saturday night, AEW WrestleDream. So there's a lot of content that's going to be going up. That's why I say make sure you're subbed and you've got the notification bell in the on position. But definitely come back here on Tuesday night, and we'll have another rare stream. For the second week in a row, we're going to be covering NXT, and we'll talk AEW as well. Juliet says, the War Machine case began with his arrest in 2014, and the trial took place in 2017. Okay, so that came first. Well, if that's what it was, then that's understandable. But again, I said War Raiders is still a better name than the Viking Raiders. So I am totally fine with the name change. Shout out to Ufman for 42 months of channel membership. You are a beast. I love it. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you for all the support as always. Had more fun here tonight on the stream going over the show and hanging out with you guys, and I did probably watching the show. But an excellent main event between Gunther and Sami Zayn. That was easily the highlight of the night. Be well, stay safe. I'll see you for the NXT AEW review tomorrow night. Until then, take care, guys.